Hello again, Radio Land, and all of you people in the world. I'm saying this because we're on the air all over the world now. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're going to be doing program number 111 in the event that you want to order it. It's free of charge. It's on available on tape or CD. And this is part 10 of how to have God's life living in you. And we have some letters, phone room response. And right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord. We don't want to do anything of ourselves. The Lord tells us to die. We cannot resurrect from unto eternal life unless we first die. We can't be ourselves. There's so many people that say, well, that's just the way she or he is, or the way I am. And we're not to be that way. The old I must die out to the things of this world and the way we were, and we must take on Christ. And Christ did not tolerate sin. He talked to sinners and witnessed to them and sat with them and ate with them and told them of the kingdom of heaven. And the people that were supposed to be of the Lord, that were called themselves religious, he would turn their money tables over and beat them and call them all kinds of names. Snake, pigs, vipers, which is the same as snakes, and he would call them children of the devil, and many other choice names like dogs, hogs, wallowing in the mire, or like a sow. So we need to know the true personality of the Lord, and so that we don't wind up being called a dog or a pig by the Lord, that we don't wind up being called vipers and children of the devil. We need to discipline ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Because if we don't, the Lord hasn't changed in all these years. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's always going to be the same. You know, forever, that means. Amen? Amen? So don't think that God just tolerates everything. And Jesus now is God. He was God the Son. He was God come in the flesh. Bible said of this little child that was born in Bethlehem in a stable that this was Emmanuel, God with us. That's what that means. And even the Jewish people know that. I lived in Israel for a while. And we have to all become part of this clothing that the Lord made out of this cloth. I know I've done we've been bringing a series on how to have God's life living in you, and the difference between Christ and religion, being a Christian and being religious. Religions, they don't require anything of you but to go to church and on Sunday, or some of them Saturday, Friday when the sun goes down on Saturday. But the Lord requires that there's a change in us, that we must become new creatures in order to enter into the kingdom of God. That means that we must have God's life living in us. We must have asked Christ to come into us, and Christ is the Father and the Holy Spirit. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when we ask Christ to enter into us, he always brings his Father with him and the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, these three are one. The Lord said in the first chapter of Genesis, he said, let us make man in our, plural, image, in our image. And so right there it tells us that God is not just a one personality. He has three parts, just like we do. We have a soul, a spirit, and a body. And God has three parts. He has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he made us in his image, so that he, when he enters us in the Spirit, it would be like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit entering into something that is the same as they are, the same image. In other words, he made us to fit him, just like a glove fits a hand, or a hand, it goes into a glove. So we're made special. God never made us in the image of animals, or God never made animals in his image, but us. We're different than animals. We are humans, made in the image and likeness of the Lord. And so let's go to the throne of the Lord in the Spirit. Now, many of you people listening to me don't have the Spirit of the Lord living in you. You have the Spirit of life, temporal life, but you'll have the immortal, eternal, everlasting Spirit of God living in you, and he'll mingle himself with your mortal spirit so that you have everlasting life. If you listen closely and follow the instructions of this program and order some of the back programs, it doesn't cost you a penny. The Lord gives salvation free of charge. So, Father, we thank and praise your holy name for this, our ability to be able to communicate with you. We can call on you through the Holy Spirit, through the airways, and it's a toll-free call. All we have to do is just call upon you, and you know what we're going to say before we say it. And those of us that are born again of the Spirit and mature in the Spirit rely on your words. Those of us that have been anointed with the Spirit to be in the ministry, to minister your word, we want you to minister your word through us, to us and through us. And Lord, we ask that you make, as you always do, your word plain to the saints and to the sinners, so that the sinners can be saved, to receive it, to know what it means, and that the church will be strengthened. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Now, we have three letters, or two letters, in a phone room of response here.
Yeah.
We have actually thousands of letters, but we just do three of them in each program so that you don't get bored. Okay, where's the first one from?
Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Okay.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm humbled by what I have read on your website. I have repented of my sin and confessed Jesus as Lord. There is some confusion about the Christian life that has caused me harm.
I'll tell you what. There's confusion because Satan is the author of confusion. There are so many denominations, and I want to remind everybody that Christ is not a denomination. Christ is Christ. Christ is a corporate body of people that are serving him, that are filled with his Spirit. you find people that are false Christians or very inexperienced Christians, people that really are just religious people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're really not Christians. They say they are, and they say the words of the Lord, but they've never met the Lord yet personally. And the Lord is a real person, and he meets you in the Spirit. It's just like in the Bible, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they knew the Word of God, but they didn't know God. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't want to even go see him when he was born. And that's the way that the religious people always have been and always will be, unless they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's confusion in the world because those that are not born again of the Spirit, those that don't have God, Christ, living in them, they can't understand the Word of God. They can't know the Lord. A person must, and no one can see God unless they die. Okay, so what that means is we have to physically be changed from a carnal person to a spiritual one. And until that happens, there's going to be so much confusion that it's unbelievable. And Satan is so deceptive in these last days that he'll fool or deceive the very elect if possible. And that possibility would be as if you're not following the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit on a continuous basis. And or you're looking at one denomination and another one. Then you've got these phonies that are pretending, they're on television, pretending to be Christians, Protestants, born again of the Spirit Christians, and they're exalting Catholicism. That's a physical impossibility. That's a spiritual impossibility. You can't be a Catholic and a Christian as well. That's impossible. Because the Catholicism... Now, you can be... I'm not against Catholic people at all. I'm not against anybody at all, except Satan. But I'm against their doctrine, because their doctrine is contrary to the Word of God. And so, we minister... I minister to the Catholics, to the Muslims, to the Buddhists, to every type of person on the face of this earth, because I don't believe like the Catholics do. If you don't believe in Catholicism, they boycott you, they throw you in prison, they'll torture you, they'll kill you. This is renowned. The Catholics are renowned for this. And this is totally an opposite of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to, if we people don't believe the way we do, and Buddhists, you're not supposed to be worshiping some statue or any other philosophy or Mohammedism or any of these different religions, Hinduism, Shintoism, Paramahansa Yogananda, and all these different people, or Mary Baker Eddy, but you're supposed to have worship the Lord, and we really can't worship him unless he's living in us. And we must be children. We must have the bridegroom with us. We must be children of the bride chamber. That's one thing they can't preach, because you just ask Benny Hinn if he's a Catholic or not and see if he'll deny it. If he's going to tell you the truth, he'll admit that he is. And the same thing with this Schuller. Ask him if he believes in Catholicism. Or this Van Impe person. Oh, he rattles scriptures off like crazy, like the Pharisees did. But he brags about being a Catholic. And yet he says, I'm a Christian. Well, how can he brag about being a Catholic when the Lord states that the actual Antichrist is the sitting in Rome, the city of the seven hills? And how can anyone exalt these popes and cardinals and all these people like Billy Graham does and call himself a Christian? Yeah, the devil is a deceiver. These people have like millions of followers. Now, I'm not saying... And many of them are homosexuals, and they say, like Billy Graham says, I don't know if homosexuals are going to hell. Well, I say they are because God says they are. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if Mr. Graham is a Christian, then let him preach the word the way it is written. Amen?
Amen.
God's not going to let homosexuals into heaven. They're all going to hell. Amen? Unless they repent. God doesn't want people to retain the sin of homosexuality because they'll go to hell. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to forsake that. And then, as I've always said, the homosexual says, well, I was born that way. Well, we were all born sinners, but that's why we have to be born again, amen, of the Spirit, right?
Amen.
So it's a simple thing to do. It's just as simple as breathing in the air. Just breathe in Christ and let him give you the power that you need to have God's life living in you. You have the power to become more than a conqueror over homosexuality, over false religions, over adultery, fornication, drinking, smoking, taking marijuana, any crutch that you use. The people out in the world are so weak that they need crutches, they need narcotics and drugs and all kinds of different medicines to try to stabilize them, to try to get them into some fantasy world where they don't, so that they think this can't face life. And the reason for it is because they don't have life and they don't know what life is all about. Jesus said, I am the life. So if you want to have life, you have to come to your Creator. You have to come to the Savior of the world, the Bridegroom, and call Him your Bridegroom. Be children of the bride chamber. Be the invited guest to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And be a virgin. Be washed in the blood of Jesus. Don't let Satan have you anymore. And then eventually you'll be the bride of Christ. But this person here that wrote this letter said, he's so confused. Well, I was confused too. I didn't know what was the right religion. Everyone says, I'm the right religion. And another one says, no, I am. The Catholics say they are. The Baptists say they are. The Muslims say they are. But there's only one Lord. And you must be in the body of Christ in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. That ends all confusion. And the entire Bible is written about Christ. The entire world and the universe was created by Christ. There isn't anything that was made in heaven or on this earth that was not made by Him. And therefore, even the devil was made by Him. Actually, not the devil, but Lucifer in the kingdom of heaven. And then Lucifer got jealous of his Creator. It's just like I was in the promotional field, and I would take people that were just, oh, Tony, big, they would beg me, please make me a big singer, make me a star. So when I do it, they'd start talking down to me, and I thought, I'm never going to do another promotion for another singer for the rest of my life. I mean, these people get so puffed up, their heads start swelling up, they start believing their own hype. And so I don't like promoting different people because they become bigger than you, bigger than their Creator. Like I had a person that was working in a woodworking factory somewhere in L.A. here, and his name was Jim Hahn. I don't really like to... I changed his name to Rovan. And within 90 days, he was the star of the Dunes Hotel Casino de Paris show with over a cast of over 100 people from Paris, France. And then I got him on the Ed Sullivan show several times and the Jack Benny birthday party shows and everything. And pretty soon I had to have an appointment to see the dude. I didn't want to see him anymore. He got upset with me because I didn't come to his opening because I'm a Christian. And I tried to encourage him to be to sing only Christian music because he did have a fantastic voice. His name is Rovan. I got signed him up with RCA Victor and got him off my label. And this is the way it is with humans. They are greater than God. They don't want to believe that God created them. They don't want to believe that they're made out of the dirt of the ground. And when you don't believe the truth, then you have no alternative but to be confused, like this gentleman was before, and it still is, because he hasn't yet matured in the Lord. And some people, they get saved, and then they are very happy to be saved, and then they are very impulsive. They impulsively receive salvation, and then they impulsively see something in the world, and then they fall away from salvation. And then they go to a denominational church that doesn't require anything of them, and they don't really teach the Bible that strongly, or that we must keep the commandments of the Lord. And then they figure that they're on their way to heaven, and they're not. So I'm just telling you that. Now finish the man's letter.
There is some confusion about the Christian life that has caused me harm, coming, I believe, through denominations.
That, for sure, is coming from denominations and different other religions. and especially the media, the voice of Satan himself. The Lord said that Satan would be given a mouth, and that mouth is the news media. It says so in the Bible. And I could go on and on and on about that because there's much proof of this. Then what else?
I attend a large Baptist church and desire to grow in the Lord.
Well, you won't do much growing there, my friend. The Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Yeah. The Baptists don't, most of them don't believe in supernatural. They don't believe that in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They believe once saved, always saved. In other words, that you can just, we just do the best we can. And that isn't the Lord's style at all. He says we must be perfect to enter the kingdom of heaven. They say you can't be perfect. And then they keep calling God a liar. And they're liars. The Lord is the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Let every man be called a liar, but let God be called the truth. Amen. Now, we're perfect in Christ Jesus. If you're in the Spirit, you're walking in the Spirit 24 hours a day, every waking hour, you're perfect. All right? So don't, first of all, get out of there. If you see a Billy Graham crusade, all that's there really is all Baptists and Catholics, because they're one and the same. If a Catholic sins, all they got to do is just go to the church according to them and light a few candles, say a few Hail Marys or Our Fathers, and pay some money to the priest, and their sins are forgiven. But the Bible says only the blood of Jesus takes away the sins, and then once you sin after you've been saved, that there remains no more forgiveness for you, no more repentance. If you have cardinal sins. That's why the mafia likes to belong to the Catholic cult, is because they can go out and murder somebody and buy them a few flowers, go to the church, give the priest a few $1,000s, and the priest says, okay, brother, you're forgiven. And the same thing with Baptists. They say, well, you know, you've got, I heard one of these T.D. Jakes exalting somebody that went to prison. He was supposed to be a big religious leader, and he went to prison, and then he was in prison at the same time that I was in prison. I was in prison for the gospel. They just built a false case around me about the IRS and sent me there, and I was in at the same time as this man that he was talking about. But while I was in prison, all kinds of people, he just went to pieces in prison because he's a weakling. And he was sent to Springfield, Missouri, and then also to Rochester, out in around Minnesota someplace, into the hospital. And they said that he was a homosexual. And then I heard this from people in the gospel field, that he was a homosexual, that he was committing adultery on his wife. And this T.D. Jakes is saying, we have to forgive him. Well, now, I'd love to forgive him if I could, but the Lord says that only God can forgive sinners, that I don't have the power to forgive him. And I would—I don't believe that he is forgiven, or T.D. Jakes is either, for teaching such a false doctrine as that we can forgive sin. Now, you pastors out there, you listen to what I'm telling you, because you know what I'm— if you know the Bible, you know I'm telling you the truth. Okay? Now, he said he's like a fish, that he had a bunch of fish in a fish bowl, and he had the heater on, and the heater, while he was sleeping, was just screaming out, and the fish were screaming out because the heat just got worse and worse until he woke up in the morning and saw these fish dead because they were actually boiled alive. And he says the fish were probably screaming, but they don't have a voice, so they just— and then he opened up his big mouth, and it was without making a sound, emulating what he felt the fish were doing. Oh, come on, get up, Jim, get us out of this boiling mess. But of course Jim didn't hear the little fishes. Okay, oh, this simpatico, such simpatico. Well, in prison, all the people in there were telling me, yeah, we were there, and the guy's got little boys in his cell and all this sort of stuff. and he's crying out because he doesn't have many followers anymore, and he's crying out like with the fish, but nobody's listening to him. And I'm glad they're not, because the man is full of false doctrine. I sent five of our men from the church to one of his TV broadcasts, and they said they saw, they couldn't even get close to him because he had all kinds of policemen around him. They had a triangular wedge around him, and he was in the middle. And he was put in prison, from what I understand, for scamming a bunch of people. Then he wrote a book saying, I'm wrong. I was wrong. And his wife was accused of committing homosexual acts and committing adultery on him. And now she's being exalted to the stars. Folks, people are just people. We can't be people, regular people anymore. We have to be spiritual. We have to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. We have to be sitting with Christ in heavenly places. And if we are, we're not going to be weeping on television all the time and crying and laying up with some strange females or men lying with men. The Lord tells us what he thinks about that. He says they're worthy of death. And we're not supposed to kill anybody at all, but we're just not even say wish them Godspeed, because they're not of the Lord. And some of you people are becoming more merciful than the Almighty God. God is merciful to those that sow mercy, but a person that claims to be a minister that entices people to be homosexuals and is a homosexual is not being merciful to the people that they're having homosexual experiences with or committing adultery with, because they're sending not only themselves to hell, but the people that they're committing adultery with, and also to the people that watch them doing these things and know that they're committing adultery and fornication and homosexuality and all these other things. Now, I had many friends of mine that I acquired in prison, because I won a lot of souls while I was in prison, and they'd come down from Minnesota and also Springfield and tell me, this guy is as queer as a wolfingale in springtime. And I said, God, that is terrible. A friend of mine, Gary Paxton, told me some weird things about them. He used to be their musical director. And so I know I'm not talking from a person that's looking inward. It's some of the insiders came and told me a lot of these different things. And say, why are you trying to ruin a man? Because he's ruining other lives. What do I have against homosexuals? I don't want somebody... I know that homosexuals try to turn little children onto homosexuality. I don't want homosexuals running around trying to turn my children into homosexuals or other people's children to be homosexuals, because homosexuals, if they don't repent, are going to go to hell. Do you want your children to go to hell? Well, then don't be sympathizing with them. Okay? Tell them the truth. Tell them that they have to repent. Then you're being kind to them. You're telling them the truth. If you lie to people, that isn't being merciful to them. I'm telling these different people, like T.D. Jake, stop preaching this vomit. And Jim Baker, straighten up. And I mean, I see you weeping all the time on the television. You never see me weeping. When they put me in prison, even though I wasn't guilty at all, and they had all kinds of false witnesses against me, you never saw me shed one tear. Because I know that the Lord was in it. Because I know that I went into prison, and I knew that I was there for a reason, and that was to win souls. And I put out more gospel when I was in there. And there isn't one person in there that can accuse me of being a situational homosexual or a situational person that was trying to make out with some of the female guards and so on. I never gave any of them anything like that. Everybody knew that I was a Christian. And I maintained my integrity through the entire thing. And I'm out here today, and it makes me vomit seeing some of these people that are exalting such trite people that are unrepentant. If the man is repentant, well, then admit and forsake your sins. And then I wouldn't be ashamed to put you on my program if you had repented. But for sure, I'm not going to tell everybody to start, that you got a raw deal or something because you went to prison. It was out in the news, and you even wrote a book saying that you were wrong, that you did scam people. You're supposed to feed the sheep, not fleece them. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's finish this minute. So this is the confusion out there, is people like T.D. Jakes, Billy Graham, and all these supposed to be pillars of Christianity, Schuller, and all the others that are Catholics, and this guy that has TB, what's his name? Yeah, the Crouches. I mean, they exalt Catholicism. This is the most vomit. I don't need those people. I have God, okay? If God is going to exalt me, let him exalt me. I'm not going to just say, oh, we've got so many TV stations and we're on all over the world and all. What does that do when you're making people tenfold worse of demons than you yourselves are? You're preaching false doctrine to them. And you're causing people like this to be confused. Okay? Now, read the rest of his letter. Go back where he says he's confused.
Okay. There is some confusion about the Christian life that has caused me harm, coming, I believe, through denominations. I attend a large Baptist church and desire to grow in the Lord. I seem to be hindered by a critical spirit, unbelief, or false teaching. Please send some material that would help me discern the truth and be set free. Please bear with me. I am a 50-year-old man and desire to help others come to know the Lord. But I am troubled by a second marriage of 12 years. We both were married before and wanted to have a good marriage, but for a while it seems to have grown cold. Please send material to help. In Christ, Chris, from Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Right. Well, if you are unsaved, there was a man named Abe Schneider that had a Jewish Christian work around Fairfax Avenue in the Jewish district. And Abe and I were pretty good friends. This goes back years and years ago. And he put up no smoking signs, and he would tell people that if you got saved, you have to go back to the woman that you were married with before, even though she's committing adultery and fornication and everything else. And the Lord, when I say the Lord talked to me, the Lord really did talk to me. I'm not like these people that say that, oh, God told me somebody out there in TV land has got a pimple on their nose and right now it's disappearing, or somebody out there has got a short leg and it's being straightened out right now. Or I think that you've got brain damage, to those of you that do that, and I'm praying for you that God will heal you, but I don't get word back that he's healed you yet. Okay, so if you were on the up and up, you'd stop this nonsense. You know, the government, the Antichrist, if you weren't Catholic, they'd already have you in the nut house, all right? That's where you'd be. Now, people, if you were married before and your wife was committed adultery on you, you have legal right from the Lord himself to get divorced and remarry again, but only to a Christian. But if you got married to someone that is not a Christian, and then you got saved, you're obligated to stay with her, because if you live a Christian life, you could very well influence her to become a Christian as well. But if she gets fed up with you and walks off, the Bible states that you can remarry again, but only this time to a Christian woman and somebody that you know is really serving the Lord. So that's the true doctrine. You needn't be troubled anymore, because if you'll call our number, I don't have time on this broadcast, so I'll show you the scriptures and verses in that regard. All right? Now, what else does he have to say?
Okay. This is the second letter.
Oh, where is this one from?
From Accra, Ghana.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony, greetings and grace be multiplied unto you through God our Father and through Jesus Christ our Lord. The last newsletters you sent to me have been distributed, and I was surprised at the atmosphere it is bringing into the lives of our brethren. And they have promised to serve God Almighty with all their hearts and promised to write to you. I wish to request for 10 copies of the Holy Bible, 10 copies of the book entitled The Messiah, and 100 of your different newsletters to help me with my evangelism distribution and for loved ones in Christ and family members. I hope you will grant me permission to be a member of the ministry so that I can help the lost sheep in my country so that they can fend away from the devil's destruction. Furthermore, I want you to pray for me so that I will have the strength in order to do the work of our Lord. Pastor Tony, I work the very best for you, and I would love to continue hearing from you. May the Lord richly bless you and use you as a beacon of light to those around you. Thank you, your brother in Christ, Benjamin from Accra, Ghana.
Okay, praise the Lord. We'll send him everything he wants. I just forgot to tell you the end of that matter with Abe Schneider, the head of the Jewish work down on Fairfax Boulevard in the Jewish district in Los Angeles. I was at the Los Angeles Library, and the Lord spoke to me and told me to call him and tell him to stop telling people that they have to go back to their unsaved wives once they get saved, and they've been divorced for years. And I said, Lord, like, I just got saved, and this Abe Schneider's been saved for about 50 years right now, and he's been a friend of Sue for years, and they knew each other, and I says, I just don't feel qualified, you know, because I'm just a baby Christian, so to speak, and the Lord actually made me go to the telephone and call him, and I was really embarrassed because I felt that this man was my superior, but so when I got on the phone, I says, hi, Abe, and he says, hello. I said, you know, the Lord told me to call you. I wouldn't have called you for all the tea in China, but he's telling me to tell you that you have to stop telling these people to go back to their first wife after they've been divorced from them for years and that they're unsaved and they're out there committing adultery. And so he said, if you don't stop it, he's going to take you out. And so he says, well, I appreciate you telling me that, but I just don't believe that way. I was just floored. I said, you don't believe the way the Lord believes? He said, well, I just don't believe that's the Lord. I said, how can you send people back to an unsaved woman that's committing adultery when Jesus says in the Bible that it's all right to dump them, to divorce them? The Lord doesn't like divorce at all, but if a woman commits adultery on her husband, he has a perfect right to get rid of her, and that he can remarry only in the Lord, to a Christian, not a professing Christian woman, but one that's born again of the Spirit in the body of Christ. So he said, well, I just don't believe that way. And it wasn't more than a couple of weeks after that he was visiting somebody, and he prayed for him in the hospital that they'd be healed, and the person died. And then he was waiting for another person outside the hospital room to go in there and spew them full of his false doctrine, and he died sitting on a bench outside their room. And I went to his funeral, and it was really a cursed thing because the mortician didn't sew his eyes up or something, and one of his eyes was wide open and the other one was open a slit. I said, Susie, I mean, this is unbelievable, you know, that you can tell that this is an accursed funeral. But I thank God that God took him out, because he was throwing souls left and right. The reason I found out that he was doing this is because some people came to our congregation and told me what he was saying, and told Sue, and she was floored that anybody would be that big of a heretic to tell people to do such a thing as that. Once the Lord forgives you of all your sins are forgiven, every single one of them. And you don't have to go back to any sinner and be married with them. That would be totally non-productive. It would be totally unchristian. And God took him out because he was ruining too many souls. People married this man, or this woman met another Christian man, and her husband was just out there drunk and everything, and she got divorced from him before she was saved, And Abe was telling her to go back, and she was so grieved because she knew that God told her to marry this Christian man. And the Christian man was told by the Lord to marry this Christian woman. And so we told them, look, get married, don't worry about that. And we showed them in the scriptures where that's the right thing to do. And of course people are confused when you've got that many nutcases out there that claim to be born of the Spirit Christians and preaching the truth when they're preaching lies. Dirty lies that would ruin people's Christian walk in the Lord. Okay, where's the next letter from?
From Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. A man called our prayer and information line to thank Tony for the large print Bible he received. He said he and his wife were very delighted, and he said it was very pretty. He also received the package of 10,000 pieces of literature. He has people working with him to distribute the literature. He said there's hardly any literature out there. He just so happened to come across one of the pieces of literature on the street, and that's when he called to request literature. Jose from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay, praise the Lord. All right, now let's get into how to have God's life living in you. Start out with the tract. You know, we started out reading this tract that I'd written several years ago, and then I started adding things to it. So if you order the piece of literature, it won't have all these things in it that we have on the tapes that you'll be, or the CD that you're ordering. Okay, go ahead and start reading.
Jesus said, quote, I do only what the Father has instructed me to do.
Yeah, so, and that's what Jesus said, and we have to do the same thing he said. He says, follow me. Come and follow me. Now, if you're not following the Lord, then you're not a Christian. You're just another denominational nothing. Okay, then what?
I act in full agreement with his orders, unquote. John chapter 14, verse 31, original Greek. Ungodly men don't know God. God is not in them. Having them teach the word of God is the same as having me teach people how to fly the Concorde. They say we can never understand God or know what he wants us to do. And they ask why he would need more mere human beings to do anything for him. The answer is that he doesn't need human beings to do anything for him other than be a temple for him to live in and do his work in.
Okay, now, that means that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we must say, okay, our lives are unproductive. They're not worth anything. If we died now, we're going to go to hell. And so what we want to do, Lord, we're coming to you to die. Because Jesus even likened himself as a piece of wheat sown into ground. It has to die before it can bring forth fruit. So if we come to the Lord with the idea that we're going to just die out to our old life and let the Lord come into us and live his life out in and through us, well, then that means that we're dead, our old life, and that now the new life of Christ with the Father by the Spirit is living in us. And that means that we're resurrected from death unto life. Then we become like a cloth that needs to be made into a garment. Now, I'm also world famous for designing clothing for kings, presidents, motion picture stars, and wrestlers, top like Hulk Hogan and Mr. T, and all kinds of people like this. And rock and roll people like the Chicago, the Beatles, U2, and I've done all kinds of stuff. The Sultan of Brunei, King Alfred Bongo, the King Faisal and the Queen and all their princes and princesses. And I have like a vast amount of clients that I used to make clothing for. They loved my clothing. The superstars like Dolly Parton, and you name them, I've done clothing for them, and most of the top stars, and kings, and presidents. I've done clothing for 4 different presidents of the United States. And first of all, I'd have to, if I build a suit for Larry Hagman, which I did for him to go to the wedding of Prince Charles and Diana at Westminster Abbey in London, England, I had to go and buy the cloth first. And then I have the top Italian tailors, the top in the world, and I take the measurements of the people, and then I want to fit this suit on them to like it's a glove. It just fits them like a glove, and if it doesn't fit them, they don't own it. I just redo it, completely do it. And so Larry Hagman called me up and wanted me to do a suit for him to go to suits for Liberace, Frank Sinatra, you name them. And so but we have to get the cloth first, then the cloth has to be cut, and then I would do the different treatment to it. If it's people wanted like clothing like Liberace, you have to put the rhinestones and the sequins on it after it's cut. Then you have to take it back to the tailor and have him sew it back up together, and then and put all the garnishment on it, and then take it back to the person that ordered it, and they usually love it. And so I'm going to talk about how Christ was the cloth, and that he had to be made into a garment that would be suitable to die for our sins and then go to hell for us, because that's what we deserve because we're sinners, and then raised from the hell, the death, and the grave, and conquer death, hell, the grave, sin, Satan, and the world in the flesh. And then he ascended into heaven. And then he comes down as our power, or our grace. Grace means power, and lives in us. So start reading from here, so that we can explain this a little bit more. And then you're going to be dressed like a king when you accept Christ in you. And then he comes down in the baptism of the Holy Spirit outwardly on you, and you're inwardly filled with Christ and outwardly baptized with him, clothed with him. It said, the Bible says, to be clothed upon with Christ. So he, in essence, the Bible talks about him being the cloth, and then the garment, then the wine, and then the wineskin. So we have to, the wine is the Spirit, and then the wineskin is his body. So go ahead and start reading.
Christ's incarnation from his birth to his crucifixion.
In other words, God come in the flesh, that means Christ come in the body of a man. Then what?
Was the new cloth.
So he is the new cloth. There's eight different things that Christ is new. He's the bridegroom, and he's the bride chamber. We're children of the bride chamber, and here's the new things that he is. We become made new and virgins and clean, new creatures, and we're becoming the bride. That's all new things that never happened in the Old Testament. And then now Christ became the new cloth to be made. His 33 and a half years here on earth, he was went through every kind of fire there was in order to be our clothing. Then go ahead.
Such a Christ is indeed very phenomenal, beautiful, wonderful, but not at all adequate, however, to keep us covered.
Right. He had just the cloth wasn't enough. He had to be cut. He had to go through the fire. He had to be sewn. He had to be cut into pieces. In other words, that means to go through the fire, to don't get out of the Spirit. And that's fire. To hold your peace when you know you have to. Okay, then go ahead.
Such a piece of cloth is surely new, but not yet in a suitable way for us to wear. That cloth must require some cutting, some sewing. Some work must be done upon it. All this was accomplished upon the cross of Christ. On the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus was treated. He was crucified and was buried.
Yeah, and before that, he was treated also. He worked day and night. I mean, he'd pray all night long because he knew he had to have the power, because the Spirit, God in him, knew that he had to pray all night. And then he had him walking on water. This takes faith to walk on water. Have you ever tried it before? Then he'd heal everybody in town and he'd raise the dead. That would be a pretty embarrassing thing if he'd stand in front of a cave and say, Lazarus, come forth. And he wouldn't come out. See, that takes chutzpah. That takes intestinal fortitude. That means that he had to go through that fire. He had to know that he was God in the flesh, and he had to know that he was hearing directly from the Father. And that's what we have to get to, that point that we've gone through enough fire, that we've got read enough of the Word of God, and that we are following Christ enough to know that when we lay hands on somebody, they're going to be healed. Or if I cry out to God when there's a storm, and we absolutely have to have the storm stop, when I cry out to God, that storm is going to stop. You've seen that many times, have you not?
Amen.
Okay? All right, then if I want it to rain, and if there's a need of rain, I pray, and here it comes. Almost instantly. Then what else?
He had definitely been dealt with by man, and even more so by God. After this, he was raised by the Holy Spirit from the dead. He was resurrected. Now in resurrection, he is the new garment. The resurrected Christ is the new garment.
Right, because now he's suitable. After he went through all this fire, 33 and a half years of being cut, sewn, nailed to the cross, pierced, and down into hell, and raised from the dead, and all these things, all this process he went through, so that when we call upon him for salvation, that he comes down in the Spirit with the Father by the Spirit and enters into your body, into your spirit. And then when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he clothes you outward. And you're totally clothed inwardly and outwardly with the Lord. You have the wine inside, and then you're clothed with the garment on the outside. And then when you attend the true born of the Spirit church, then you're in the wineskin. There's only one wineskin, only one body, one bottle that all these this wine can fit into. And it has to be all new, because in the Old Testament, the people were not shrunken. They had not been dealt with yet as the Lord was. Only the Lord has been dealt with enough to become the garment for us to wear and to be our Savior. All right, then go ahead.
Before his crucifixion, he was a piece of cloth, but it was new cloth. Then after his resurrection, he became a new garment for us to wear, to put on, putting on the new garment and drinking the new wine. I don't like to present mere teachings or doctrines or formalities, but I prefer to have the experience of the Lord living in and through me. Let's test you out here. Since after the Lord's resurrection, when Christ became the new garment, you may ask, how are we to put him on? How do you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? So to find out how to do that, we'll go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Quote, as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ, unquote.
Yes, if you were baptized into his death, well, then you're resurrected, and then immediately the Spirit is clothing you. Amen?
Amen.
Ezra says it right there. Repeat it again.
As many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. We must put on Christ. Then by what way may we put him on? By being baptized into Christ. The way for us to put on Christ is to be baptized into Christ. How may we be baptized into Christ? You may ask. Up till now, we are still dealing with doctrine. We absolutely need something very practical for us to understand. We have seen that after the Lord's resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ became a new garment. But the Bible also tells us that after his resurrection, he was made a life-giving spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. If Christ were not the Spirit, how could we be baptized into him? Have you seen the point? Are you able to understand this? How can we be baptized into Christ? Well, we can because Christ was made a life-giving spirit. Christ, by being crucified, buried, and resurrected, was made a life-giving spirit, a life-giving breath. The living air, as the breath, it is so easy for him to get into us. And as the air, it is so easy for us to get into him. Christ, in resurrection, was made a spirit. This life-giving spirit is the 100% everything one, the everything Christ. In this spirit is all that Christ is and all that he has accomplished. This everything spirit is the everything Christ himself. And this everything Christ, as the Spirit, is the new garment for us to wear. Even this garment is the Spirit of God. We were baptized into Christ as the Spirit. It is thus that we put on Christ. Christ is the Holy Spirit, the breath of air, the everything spirit. When we are baptized into Christ, we put him on.
Yeah. In him, everything is included. Food, drink, cloth, garment, resurrection, life, heaven, everything. Amen?
Amen.
And I see that my time is up. I always hated these services. You know, they seem to go so fast. I wished I had more than an hour. So, but if you want to have yourself clothed upon with Christ, that's it's as easy as breathing air into you. And just do that now by saying this prayer. Say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that God, that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that even includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me and that you've answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. Now you're going to want to tune in tomorrow to pick up on part 11 of how to have God's life living in you, because these are things that you'll not hear every day. You just you can tune in on all these radio and television broadcasts, and there's nobody going to be telling you all this, these truthful things from the Word of God, because they evidently must think that you're not bright enough to receive it, but I think you are. Okay, so order the tape, if you like. It's tape number, program number 111, it's tape or CD, free of charge, until tomorrow. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord, and just keep your face in that Bible. Read it and absorb it and thank and praise the Lord for it. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Amen.